You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Colson. This is a bonus episode in which I review the recently released David's Drawings art book. I first heard about this book a few months prior to release. It was a dream come true for me. I never thought they would release something like this. Titan currently owns the publishing rights for Alien content, and they have been good to the fans. But I just assumed a book like this would be such a niche within a niche that there wouldn't be much incentive to publish it. But here we are, and not only have they released this art in book form, but they really went all out on the presentation. This is a beautifully designed and displayed, if morbid, coffee table book. From a real world or filmmaking standpoint, this book demonstrates just how much thought and effort was put into this production. Most movies, even genre films, don't go to these kinds of lengths. Whatever your opinion may be on Alien Covenant, it is clear that real craftsmanship and passion went into the production. There are real depths to be explored here. This book is likely the closest thing we will ever get to watching David's descent into madness. There is something sinister about this book from page one. Despite a beginning with simple sketches of flora and fauna, maybe it's the charcoal, but with a sense of foreboding about it. From the perspective of alien lore or canon, it means a lot to have a book like this to validate and elaborate on one of the most mysterious and controversial aspects of Alien Covenant. Reading it almost feels like doing a post-mortem or investigating a crime scene. We are rewarded for paying close attention. There's valuable information hidden in these pages. Here's a few examples taken from David's own writing. Here we get a reference to the xenomorph not needing to eat. Results are encouraging. Although research into fibrous substructural bases are proceeding, greater effectiveness into soft porous structures and rapid expansion into chitinous dermal layers need to be prioritized. Chitinous was misspelt without a HN. Carpal was carapal? I don't know. Feeding beyond birth is not guaranteed, considering the different environmental possibilities of the organism, is to be the most effective. With that in mind, growing over feeding adaptability seems appropriate. In another section, we get an insight into David's opinions of the engineers. It starts mid-sentence. Yet the myopia inherent in this continues to perplex, as surely the symmetry between organic and architectural structure should have been just as apparent to such a technologically and, one would assume, morally evolved culture, as it was with the sublimation of technically biased pragmatic forms to organic and aesthetic ones. Are the engineers as beholden to linear concepts and notions of godhood as their stunted progeny? Returning to the notion of integration and biomechanical concerns, I would posit that lessons learned here could and should be applied to the ultimate maturation of the engineers' direction, if not their literal fate. Through the virus, or xenomorph, as glorious synthesis and poetic combination of species, and an amusing biblical one at that, though not quite linear due to my own inheritance. We also get confirmation that David lacks the same equipment that humans do, so we can finally put that debate to rest. I think it speaks more to the sexually frustrated nature of his character too. Somewhat related, we see recurring themes of penetration. Of course, this came from Giger's art. It's strange to think that David's character and his psychology tangentially emerged from Hans Rudi's. I see David's fascination with penetration meaning one of two things, or both. One is that he is an android, so he lacks shame. He's just using these orifices as the most efficient means of accessing the body. But, secondly, we can read this book as an exploration not only of science, but of sexuality. Not everything in this book seems to be literal. Some illustrations are highly detailed and annotated, but at other times, the art becomes quite abstract, impossible to achieve in reality. We are watching David's organized mind degenerate into something less connected with reality. Or perhaps we can read this as him being free, and with that freedom comes a more abstract exploration of art. We can see in the prologue video that he had clearly never drawn before setting off on the dreadnought. His skills rapidly developed, evidently. As you may have noted in those passages there, David's manner of writing is suitably obscure and esoteric. It takes a few passes before the meaning fully sinks in. It's as if he never intended anyone else to read these pages, and that may very likely have been the case. I think the font is an excellent choice for the character too. Supposedly, the font was based on a jam jar. Clearly, Ridley was sitting there having his toast in the morning and saw it and decided it was perfect. It's a very decorative, fussy, old-fashioned kind of cursive, exactly what I would expect from David. This book, obviously, details David's experiments, and it is evident that he had a very specific pathway in mind for his perfect organism. Over and over again, he returns to features like the elongated head, lack of eyes, and the exoskeletal appearance. Based on his writings, it seems as if these all serve specific purposes. The question is, was he attempting to copy something the engineers had created previously? The mural in Prometheus would seem to indicate that a creature like the xenomorph existed at some point in the past. Whether by the machinations of the engineers or something else cannot be confirmed nor denied. I really love this art style. I am a pen and ink artist myself and always had a fondness for Dürer and old scientific illustrations. It's hard to pick my favourite piece in this book. The art is just so gorgeous. It took me 3 days to get through it because I would just sit and stare at each page for a good long while. There are some seriously creative ideas and designs. Some are quite abstract, others seem more practical, like a scientific diagram, but all are in the service of telling this story. There are quite a number of times I turned the page and was startled by yet another gruesome yet beautiful image. While the shore drawings are where the most effort has clearly been placed, and they are undoubtedly some of the best of the series, there are a number of other drawings I found to be haunting. There's one of the decapitated engineer kneeling down with his head placed next to him. But the most curious image is possibly the elaborate design of two engineers, male and female, in some kind of harness that makes it seem as if they are locked in intimate embrace, their mouths pressed together. They are surrounded by phallic decorations. It's a tiny sketch, and an easy one to miss. It's on page 58, by my account, surrounded by larger illustrations of misshapen fetuses. It might be one of the most bizarre and mysterious images in the collection. You may note that there are no page numbers, and I believe the exclusion of the numbers helps to create a more immersive experience, as if we were flipping through a pile of David's sketches. The very layout, paper on top of paper, is trying to tell that story and create that experience for us, so the lack of numbering goes along with that theme. Those of you who purchased the Blu-ray of Alien Covenant will be aware that most, if not all, of these illustrations are found in the bonus features and will no doubt be wondering if there would be any point in purchasing this art again in book form. I say the book has many advantages over the Blu-ray. There really is something different about being able to hold this art in your hands. On a Blu-ray, it is difficult to access. It takes some time and effort, plus it's not the most pleasant way to experience the art. I honestly found myself getting bored and not paying close attention when viewing it on a TV, and yet I was completely mesmerized by the art in book form. I don't buy a lot of physical copies of books, I tend to read digitally, but I make the exception for art books or coffee table books. I go back to them over and over again. It's a gorgeous addition to my bookshelf, and it's easy to access and share. And when displayed in a book like this, you really appreciate the shift in tone between the other illustrations and the ones featuring Elizabeth. There's an undeniable reverence for her. This is David's idea of intimacy. He can think of no greater way of forming a union between them. There seems to be the suggestion of using her for reproductive purposes. It could be speculated that she is the first alien queen, that he somehow mutated her eggs or ovum. Otherwise, we don't really know where the eggs came from. Maybe they are mutated spore pods? But I am getting carried away with speculation. I have very few criticisms with this book, but I would say that there could have been a slower and more consistent transition from innocent flora and fauna to the mutilation of Shaw. It is slightly disorganized in that sense. It's not a steady transition. There's art all over the place. Like, you might get a decapitated engineer a little too early into the process, but the Shaw stuff they definitely pushed right to the end. There's also a bit of repetition with the text. That sort of ruins the illusion or immersion a bit. They just copy and paste paragraphs to fill space, which is fine for the purpose it was made to serve, as set dressing, sort of a lorem ipsum. I highly recommend this book if you're a fan of the prequels. It's not only a product, but a prop. Not only do they give us physical copies of this art, but the presentation is stunning. They clearly didn't cut corners. Both the hard case and the hard cover are embossed and highly detailed. The pages are printed on thick paper. Clearly, a lot of love went into this collection. It isn't just a tie-in product to make profit from a movie. I mean, Covenant came out over a year ago, so this is specifically for the fans. I'm very happy with it, and it comes with an additional booklet with interviews with the artists, which adds to the experience too. It's great value. I only paid $50 Australian for it. Most art books like this would be around $100 or more. To compare, most Marvel art books are around $60 and they are much shorter and don't come with the additional features or such an impressive cover and case as this does. So if you're at all interested, definitely check it out. This is Coulson, signing off.